Welcome to Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna.
Welcome back to season two of Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna, the Bravo podcast where the bagels always have lox and the jokes are always tasteless. My name is Brianna and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Jordan. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Brianna.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty great. How are you?
Doing well. Very excited about season two. And last night, as you know, was the premiere of the new season of Vanderpump Rules, which I honestly have been waiting for since like August, because that's my favorite. And it's perfect timing because we have also snagged our best guest ever. And we could not be more excited because we have interviewed Peter Madrigal, the manager of Sir from Vanderpump Rules. And we have an awesome interview with him near the end of the podcast. So we have that to look forward to. Yes. And he is the nicest guy ever. Just got to say. Didn't you think, Jordan?
He's everything you see on TV. He's not like fake at all. He's just, he's genuinely nice.
Absolutely. And genuinely genuine. Like he just gets really down to earth. So that was awesome. Mm. But that's later on in the show. And before that, we're going to talk about the reunions for Real Housewives of Dallas and Married with Medicine, as well as a little bit about Jersey. And there's just so much to discuss. We're going to have to skip a lot. So there's a lot to unpack this week, to quote our friend Andy Cohen. Yeah. So you ready to get started, baby?
Yeah. Yes. First up,
let's just jump right into the Real Housewives of Dallas. That was crazy.
That reunion.
I told you right before we got started that I was just quickly reviewing it before we got started on the podcast. And my husband sat there and watched it with me and his jaw was on the floor. He couldn't take it. Like, he thought all the women were hideous. The only woman he could stand was Stephanie.
Because she's a Disney fairy princess.
And that's what I said. I said, Jordan thinks she's a Disney princess. And he was like crazy about her. So what do you think about those reunion looks? Like, I kind of want to start there.
You know, they were pretty cohesive and that obviously they were issued a dress code. I mean, we've discussed it with other shows. It was, and the way they were seated, it was black, red, black, red, black, red. It appealed to my obsessive compulsive disorder.
I kind of appreciate the symmetry too, because I'm also a freak. Like, I can't stand things that are asymmetric. Mm-hmm. So I know I would need them all red on one side and black on the other, or like mixed up like that. What is wrong with us? Whatever is wrong with us, it's the same thing for each of us.
That's yeah.
I thought a lot of their outfits were super hideous. Mm-hmm. Like Leanne's dress, what the hell was up with that? It was all like crazy geometric angles, like the biggest shoulder pads I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, those, like, it looked like she had a hanger.
It did look like that, now that you say it like that. Mm-hmm. And also the bottom, I don't know if you noticed, but it looked like a triangle too. It was like she was wearing a giant hourglass or something.
Yeah, that was odd. I'm looking at a picture right now.
Not her best look.
Not really any of their best looks. Stephanie looked good. She was wearing like a normal off the shoulder.
I like how you say that's normal.
Well, you know, compared
only in Housewives world.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie's is a little like a 90s New Jersey prom.
Right. And then I thought like Cam's was like, it looked like she had a feather boa.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. Although red looks awesome on her.
It does. I think she was going for like a Nicole Kidman and an awards show look.
Yeah, right. DeAndre was also wearing red and I thought she had a really nice dress on. I liked that one shoulder thing.
It was interesting.
I also do appreciate it when DeAndre doesn't wear 5,000 huge wrinkles. I mean, wrinkles. Ruffles. All the huge ruffles and bows in front. I think it looks terrible.
Yeah. She cleaned it up a little bit.
I'm telling you, Andrew was so appalled by her. And I think it was the eye makeup. I don't know what it is. He just can't take it. He didn't realize they were Dallas, that it was Dallas. Mm. And then when I said Dallas, he was like, oh. And then he said, they don't sound like they're from Texas. Yeah, quite a thing. So immediately everyone jumps right in on Leanne's wedding. And this was kind of an amazing thing this week because the interwebs have gone insane because they came really, really hard for Leanne.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people believe that she deserved it. But I don't know. What do you think? Was it too much? Even if she deserved it, having that huge pylon, like, what did you think about that?
You know, it was pretty unprecedented in that, like, that's happened. We've seen every two or three seasons it happened to Lisa Vanderpump.
Yep.
But Andy jumped in.
Right. And that's, people were freaking about that, too. They were saying, you're not one of the housewives, Andy. You're not supposed to be contributing to the drama, just reporting on it and being neutral.
Yeah, I had never seen that before. He really kind of like broke the fourth wall and joined in on the fight.
She must have really pissed him off.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's some kind of behind the scenes.
I also wondered the same thing, you know, because, he definitely seemed like he had some kind of axe to grind.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't normal. Although she kept lying and he kept contradicting her. And I don't think he has a lot of tolerance for that kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like she was saying things that were straight lies. Like, oh, well, the real truth is we had 5 hours between the wedding and the reception because production has to take a break and eat dinner. And Andy's like, that is not true. Like he just straight up said, and he said the same thing. Like he caught her in all these lies over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like he was getting more and more pissed off the whole time.
I mean, if there's one person you can't lie to about production on Bravo, it's Andy Cohen.
I know, come the hell on. Like it was like, it really does take some kind of an interesting compulsive liar to tell lies when A, there's, you know, people there who can contradict it, and B, when there's footage.
Mm-hmm.
That always trips me out.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the other reunion the other day where they were, oh my God, what was the... It was
OC.
On the OC reunion. Yeah, where Vicky was saying things like, I was never interviewed. And Andy's like, yes, you were. I saw your... Like, he gets so mad when they lie.
Yeah, I think there was one point where Andy's like, well, like, don't worry. We're going to cut to like a... We're going to cut back to flashback footage right now or something.
Exactly.
Like, he was acknowledging, like, we have all the footage.
Right, I know. But why? I mean, do these women think they're going to get away with it? Or...
That, and I also think it's in a poor form to be on a show and blame it on openly, like break the fourth wall and blame it on production because they're contradicting the whole concept that you're watching their real lives.
Yeah.
It kind of probably puts Andy in a weird place.
Yeah. Incidentally, you know, this week, I remember Steve Campbell, Leanne's wedding planner, who's been on our show, was saying that, or he retweeted someone who said, I know Leanne and she's nothing like she is in person. She's nothing like she's portrayed on the show. Mm-hmm. And somebody else commented, but this is supposed to be a reality show. If this is all manufactured, I don't want to watch this. And
yeah.
And I think a lot of people think probably that these people are fake and that they're characters. But after having spoken to Steve Campbell and having spoken to Peter Madrigal this week, like, that is not my impression. These people seem identical to what they are on TV.
Yeah. I think
same with Kathy with the mic from OC. She was identical. She was crazy, crazy, like on TV.
I think they conveniently, like, decide that it's just a character when they don't want to accept what they've been doing.
Right. I don't know. This whole Leanne thing is so disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's why everyone went so hard on her. It's just like, it just got beyond egregious. Nobody can stand it anymore. It's just not even.
It kept going on. It was like a theme throughout the season.
I know. And it just got worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
But so everybody's, you know, going on and on about Leanne being so racist. And then Steve published not published it.
Somebody
found it and reposted it, even though it was from 3 years ago.
Yeah, the one of Brandy
mocking Asians.
You guys have seen it. Yeah, Brandy is in her car with her kids doing like an Instagram video where she's mocking Asians.
Right. Mocking Asians. Yeah.
With her squinty eyes or something.
Yeah. It was really, really atrocious. And then tonight, I just, right before the podcast, I saw a tweet that she did, which says, that is a video from 3 years ago, and it was up very briefly, and I already apologized for it and learned a lot. I understand I was insensitive or whatever. Mm. So is that fair game, being that it's old, in your opinion?
You know, considering how she came for Leanne a bit, I would say it is. I mean, this season... or this reunion became all about like the racism. She was in she was in a glass house throwing stones.
Yeah, big time, big time. Although she really didn't, she wasn't saying that much about the race. If you think back, it's kind of everyone else who was talking about it a lot. Maybe she knew.
Yeah.
I mean, she did pile up. Oh no, that's right. They asked, do you think she's racist? And she's like, yeah, I think she's racist. I don't know. It was pretty stressful. But then, of course, they jumped right in on the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The event of the season.
Yeah, the event of the season. And, I mean, this has been a crazy week because with Steve, like, all, I feel like Steve Kimball, you said it, like, you feel like maybe he's her publicist behind the scenes. Because it seems like his full-time job is defending her on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely, he's the one. As far as people are speculating out on Twitter, I think Leanne was sitting on that video this whole time, and had Steve. It was Steve who published it, who released it this week.
Pretty intense. So the wedding. So Andy pretends like he doesn't know who Steve Kimball is.
Yeah, that was shade. He absolutely knows who Steve Kimball
is. He's met him.
Yeah, wasn't
Steve Kimball was a bartender on Watch What Happens Live.
I know he didn't want to hear anything from anyone involving Leanne. I think it had to be something off camera. He's tall. Look at the way he's tolerated prejudiced people on his series before. This wasn't about her Mexican comments. I don't know if she was making demands or what, but he was like.
You could tell he was really furious and had no patience. And maybe it is the racism stuff. Maybe he's just over it. It was not apparent why, but he was coming hard for her.
Yeah.
So, okay. So again, back to the wedding. So people were talking a lot about the reality of Leanne's wedding, and this has been going on and on and on. And this is sort of like Leanne's wedding gate as far as was there food there?
Yeah.
What do you think about this? She kept trying to defend it, right? Like, oh, I didn't even think about serving dinner at a wedding. And they're like, what the hell? Have you ever been to a wedding before, lady?
I mean, I don't know. Steve said there were like, I remember him explaining it to us, and he had like a whole folder with like, there were displays from Sprinkles cupcakes.
Right.
So I think it was more like a cocktail party.
It was. Yeah.
Like charcuterie and cupcakes and such.
Of course, the reception started at 8 p.m. And that was Leanne's like, well, we eat dinner at 6. We didn't think it was dinner. But I think that in polite society, when you invite people out at that time, you expect that it's going to be dinner. Well, at least a buffet, no?
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to see the invite. Sadly, we didn't receive. It got lost in the mail.
No, mine was, she texted mine.
I was part of the 30%.
Right, same here. Yeah. There's another great lie. I mean, 30% of the mail gets lost and no one would ever use the freaking mail.
Yeah, that's like a failing grade. And all my bills seem to find their way to my door.
Exactly. Do you think Steve really said that, or is she just using him as a convenient excuse?
I think he was her like off camera like excuse for a lot of things.
She is such a liar. Like, it's so weird to watch someone lie about things that are obviously false.
It's kind of like watching a child with like frosting all over their face said they didn't eat the cake.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever known someone who's like a really compulsive liar?
Just life? You. No, I'm joking.
How dare you?
No,
there's a person in my family, I will not mention said person's name, and that person used to tell lies that were so crazy and so egregious and so obviously false, and for no reason. It was like the full-on compulsive liar. This person would lie about things that there was just no reason to lie about. Mm. And looking at Leanne, I had that same feeling, like, this lady is a compulsive freaking liar.
Yeah.
Like, she's lying about things that don't even require a lie. Like, why not say, yeah, I just really couldn't be bothered. I didn't want to do a big buffet. You're right. Maybe I should have put cocktails only or whatever, you know? Like, why not just say that instead of coming up with 50 different lies, you know? Try one. Oh, no one believed it. Okay, moved on to the next lie. Like, I like how she said, you brought it up too in the wedding episode, how she said she had a 5-hour break so she could strip her husband.
Yeah.
And now she said it's production. And then she said, like, and then she said she didn't think about food and just on and on. That's really strange. And then I was dying when Cam says, was I starving? 100%. Cam loves food. Have you noticed how much that girl eats? Like, she's the one out of all of them that's always eating. It's hilarious. And Deandra too. But you can tell by looking at Deandra. But not
Deandra. I mean, you would not expect Cameron to be a big eater.
Right. I know. I love that one on the Thailand episode where everyone leaves the table and she's sitting there and she's talking about the retreat and eat. You retreat and I eat. I thought she was hilarious. Anyway, it cracked me up when she was saying that. And then Stephanie said she's starving too, that she was hungry and she had eaten before the wedding. Mm. But yeah, you know, it's hot in Dallas. Mm. And that one caller who was saying, yes, a plate of sweaty meat and cheese. Like, I totally felt that. Like, I could imagine that warm
it
room and the meat's
appetizing.
Just, yeah, like gross, right? Interesting. They were all coming hard for her. I thought it was extremely uncomfortable. Like, I think she's an appalling human being. I really tried to like her this season for Steve's sake, but like, she's an appalling person. But even I was like, oh my God, stop. This is too much, you know? Yeah. She seemed okay though.
She can hold her own.
Yeah, she really can. She's a nasty street fighter, that one.
She's okay. You can take the girl out of the carnival, but you can't take the carny out of the girl.
We've said it a million times, we'll say it another million times. Yeah. So finally they moved off of the wedding, which for one I was grateful for. I've even had it with Steve. Like, I can't read any more of Steve's tweets, you know, like about
when we log into our Kiki and Kibitz Twitter, I'll be like, what the fuck? We have like 95 like notifications, and it's because we've been tagged in like 20 posts.
I know, it's so funny to me. He tags us in everything, like we're a gossip rag. I'm very flattered. We are a gossip rag, except we tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So yeah, let's move on from Leanne's damn wedding. And so another flashback, I just have to bring this up before I forget. So we moved into some other flashbacks from the season, and Deandra being a drunk fool when she falls on the ground and her Spanx are showing. Oh, it was killing me. That was not a good look. A good look. Because, like, wear Spanx if you must, but those were really bad Spanx too. Oh my God, I'd be humiliated. So the last point that I really wanted to bring up from the reunion, because we have so much else to talk about, we could go all night, was this whole thing with Stephanie and Cam and the surface level friendship. So like, I felt like Cam was really reaching with that, how she took that whole surface level friendship thing and took it all the way down to, that means she's a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
What was your impression of that?
Well, you know, I don't think she was helping her cause a couple minutes later when she quoted Frozen.
There's that. Or when she didn't know what a sextet was.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Is she dumb or not? I can't tell. Is she dumb or not?
I think she's brilliant in a way that's hard to apply or really value.
I feel like that's something my husband would say about my female dog, Chica. Because I always say, like, she's dumb as a box of rocks. And my husband's like, no, she's just a dreamer. She's a dreamer. You say something else. Cam's a dreamer. She's a thinker.
That's a good way.
Have you ever heard that Douglas Adams quote? He was a dreamer, a thinker, or his wife, or as his wife would put it, a complete idiot. That pretty much sums up Chica. And maybe Cam, not sure. So, want to move on to New Jersey, and we're just going to do a couple quick points on this from this week's episode. And of course, everyone is talking about this epic hair pull. Well, actually, just the whole epic confrontation between Danielle and Marge.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings. What was your take on it?
You go first.
Okay.
Because I'm just sitting here exhausted with these women.
So, as you guys know, they went to a salon, a boutique. It was a girls' shopping day, and it turned into a physical, epic, screaming confrontation between Marge and Danielle that ends with Danielle and Marge pours a bottle of water over Danielle's head. Danielle ends up pulling Marge by her weave and dragging her to the ground. And that's where the episode ends.
Of course, the funny thing was there was a really big time lapse between the water and the hair pull.
Exactly. That's where my mixed feelings come from. The way it's edited, it shows it as if Marge emptied the bottle of water on Danielle's head, and Danielle comes right back around and grabs Marge by the hair.
No, even in the edit, it looked like it took a couple minutes. It looked like they diffused it, and then Marge goes walking by her, and then Danielle does it.
Yeah.
Like, to me, even on the edit, it looked like it was not in the heat at the moment. And then I read that it was like a really long time after.
Yeah, like Marge is saying like 12 solid minutes.
Yeah, 12 minutes afterwards.
Uh-huh. And that's where
bizarre.
Yeah, that's where my mixed feelings come from. Because honestly, if someone did pour bottle water over my head, I would have punched them like close-fisted across the face.
So funny you said that. I was just thinking in my mind's eye, I would freaking punch them right in the throat.
Yeah.
Like that would just be full on cum hard right in the Adam's apple. Like I have no, it would be just a reflex.
Yeah. And exactly. But when I found out there was a 12-minute lapse,
she's thirsty AF.
It was all about camera. I think I shared it. I think she wanted it to be her epic table flip.
Yep.
She thought that was going to be her moment.
Right.
And in the end, it just came off so thirsty. She didn't even get an invite to BravoCon for it.
Oh, my God.
It didn't come off right. It just, especially when you know about the time lapse, it was like she was sitting there thinking, like, how can I get a full-time spot? Yeah.
I know. But this has gone on for 2 seasons. And one thing I have to say is that Marge acts like a big victim. But let's not forget, she pushed Marty in the pool. And by the way, she said on this episode, well, that wasn't something that could have, hurt him, because she insists that with Danielle, she could have snapped her neck and caused permanent damage. And she said the thing with Marty wasn't dangerous. Well, that's bullshit. You push someone in a pool, they could easily hit their head on the side of the pool and die. There's all kinds of bad things that could happen.
Yeah.
I did not think that was okay. I don't think Margaret, I don't think she's okay at all.
She's not a victim in this, she has been taunting Danielle.
And she's a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Marge is a bully.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She's been just publicly on the show calling her a whore. The one I have to give her credit for, the Duchess of Dicks.
That was good. And it's true. I mean, she can do whatever she wants to Danielle, and from my point of view, it's not enough stuff. However, yeah. I just don't agree with it. Like, I just think it's wrong.
Yeah. So she's really not a victim. Mm-mm. But I don't, I can't like say, I can't give, I can't say anyone's innocent in this. It's like a draw. They're both kind of awful people.
I also feel like as a grown person, the minute it gets physical, you both lose. Like, you just like fail, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's got to come down to that, you're doing something wrong. I swear to God, though, if anyone poured a bottle of water over my head, they'd be so sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I just don't think I could control myself.
No, I'd have like an animal instinct to literally swing.
Throat punch. Serious. I don't know why, but throat punch is exactly where I'd go with that.
That's why I also don't feel so bad for Marge, because if she had been like punched in that moment, she was asking for it.
Big time. Yeah. But, and then the hair pull. Yeah. I mean, I'm against these hair pulls too. And I was like, bye, wig.
Yeah.
It's so evocative. I was remembering Sheree and Kim. Yeah.
I was tripped out by this hair pull because I just assumed it was like a Sheree to Kim wig pull, a wig check.
Yeah.
But then when I saw it, I was like, whoa, that was pretty aggressive.
Of course, that's not her hair, right? Extensions, just to be clear. Like, I think she had a clip-on ponytail.
Yeah, she did.
So, I mean, I doubt it hurt so much. Like, not like it was her ponytail, but still, I mean, she really could have hurt her neck, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't let go. Like, she literally, it wasn't like a tug. It was a pull.
It was like when Portia went for Kenya on that Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, where she like took her down to the floor.
She dragged her. Yeah, that's what they call her. It.
Yeah, it was a drag. Ugh. Mm-hmm. I just like, stop putting your hands on each other. Like, I don't like it. It's most unbecoming of grown people. And that's my feeling.
It must be a New Jersey thing. I don't think you'd ever, well, no, I can't say that because Beverly Hills, we have the wine glasses.
And Atlanta. And Dallas. Like Dallas, we got wine glasses too.
Oh, that's right.
I mean,
in New York, you have prosthetic legs. Oh, and wine glasses. Ramona did throw one.
Well, I could easily throw a wine glass though. Mm. Just thinking about the amount of violence that I could be prone to. I think unprovoked throwing a wine glass is probably the worst it would get for me. If someone hits me, though, you know, all bets are off. Anyway, is there more that you think we should talk about Jersey, or is that just the big no? I mean, because it was messy all the way through. And I also want to point out that someone called Margaret Troutmouth, which made me so happy. I was like, finally, someone was able to describe that, because I can't stand looking at her damn mouth.
I actually had a conversation about that today because someone I follow back was tweeting and calling saying like Danielle and Troutmouth. And I honestly had to read through the whole thread and to figure out who Troutmouth was, because it could apply to so many people. But I get it now that it was Marge. But I'm like, is Troutmouth Danielle? Is Troutmouth?
Oh my God. No, I mean, her mouth really looks like a trout.
Yeah.
She's got like that exaggeratedly large lower lip. Mm. Like I always want to tell people what they should do about their, like, I'm so totally hot, but she really could use some filler in that top lip. Even it out. But God knows, not as much as Danielle. God, her filler is so overdone on her top lip. Both of those women, I hate looking at their faces, both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, they both have something about their appearance that is so off-putting to me. I just can't look at them.
The worst for me is when Marge has her little pigtails.
Oh, God.
It's like she's like, what's that movie? Like, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? Like, she thinks she's like a little pageant girl, but she's pushing 60. It's not cute.
Well, she's like 53, but yeah.
Oh.
She looks like she's pushing 60 for some reason, doesn't she? There's something about her, sort of like Karen Huger. Karen Huger is like 56 or something. I thought she was mid-60s, you know? And it's not necessarily her appearance as much as it is the way she carries herself.
It's the way they carry them, especially like Karen has the whole matriarch.
Exactly. Kind of. Grand dame. Like, people, that's how really older people might sound, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't catch me calling myself, I'm grand dame. Not that I'm 56 or close to it. But also, Margaret, if you're listening, I have more important feedback about your appearance. Stop with the freaking totally bleached out blonde hair, because that is very aging.
It does. It makes, it reminds me, I don't know if you remember her season two, Kim Granitel, Kim G.
Oh, yes. It's harsh, right?
Yeah, it's really harsh, and it makes you look probably 6 years old.
Exactly. It's aging. The other thing that's really aging is her eye makeup. She's doing it all wrong. I could help her, but I wouldn't, because I can't stand her. Like, not
let's
one invite.
Let's do a Kiki and Kibitz botched crossover. Yeah. Where we give them, where you give a makeover and they fix their injections.
Yeah.
Calling these ladies could use some help.
Yeah, right. Who do you think is like the best looking one on New Jersey?
I'm trying to think. Probably Melissa.
Me too.
Melissa.
I think she's beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
And like, and I was going to say in a very natural way, even though she's had three nose jobs or whatever.
Yeah, but it's, she still looks fresh. She's.
She looks great for 40. God.
She's 40?
Yeah, she just turned 40 on the show.
I would have guessed like 36.
I know. She's hot as hell. She goes to the gym every single day, she says. Which
she kind of has, she doesn't look just like her, but kind of a J-Lo quality.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I can really see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's, I hate her. I really wish I could look like, if I could choose, no, actually, if I could choose someone to look like, it would probably be Dolores.
Dolores is stunning.
She's so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So gorgeous. Although this season, I can't stand her. She's driving me crazy in so many ways. But yeah, I think Melissa's beautiful. Another woman who I can't stand looking at is Jennifer. Mm. I think it's these women with the big, big, big lips. I just can't look at it. It's like,
it's aggressive.
What's that?
It's aggressive.
Oh, aggressive. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I don't know. It's just like, it says a lot about your personality that you would rock those lips. And I'm like, a little too much for me.
Well, like Kim Zolciak. She's really gone to the dark side with that shit. And I'm a big fan of the fillers and the, you know, the Botox. But like, when you do it right, it looks natural.
Oh, speaking of fillers and injections and lips, want to hear one of my inside Jordan stories from today?
Sure.
My friend texted me and messaged me. She was at a nail salon in Beverly Hills today getting a manicure. And Lisa Rinna, speaking of injections, her two daughters were in there. Oh. And it was super apparent they had their lips done too. Amelia and Belle.
Yeah, I've seen them lately and you can really see.
Yeah, yeah. This was like firsthand knowledge just for you guys. Awesome girl.
I don't know if that's really big news, honey.
Well, we were talking about injections and it happened today.
Yeah. I just PSA, they should all go to Dr. Lay, the guy near me. He does such a good job. Like you would never know. I swear, but you know, like the whole idea is to just improve.
Yeah, it's supposed to look natural.
Right.
It's a sad truth that public school teachers in the United States spend an average of $500 a year on necessary school supplies such as crayons and chalk. And everyone knows that teachers don't earn enough to begin with. That's why we're passionate about Clear the Lists, a charity that takes donations and uses them to clear off the Amazon wish list of these underappreciated heroes. To contribute to Clear the Lists, go to supportateach.com. That's support, then the letter A, and then teach, as in teacher, and click on the Donate Now button. Again, that's supportateach.com. You can make a difference in the lives of teachers and students today.
It's supposed to look refreshed.
Right. I mean, I think it's okay to look a little bit beyond natural, like a little, you know, a little glam, but I've had it also with the eyelashes, you know? these women on Bravo and the eyelashes. It's just like,
that's a good transition for our next topic.
And speaking of Contessa.
Contessa's lashes were insane.
Yeah, so sliding on into the Married to Medicine part two reunion, which we missed part one while we were on our little holiday hiatus. And I'm sorry, because I feel like we've really been neglecting Married to Medicine. And I said to you the other day, like, I totally forgot about Married to Medicine, but it's not because I don't like it or I don't think it's great, because I actually really do. But that's just testimony to how many, like, amazing seasons of Housewives there have been on at once in the, you know, in the fall and winter. So I thought the reunion was great.
It was, really, like, I don't know, productive.
Like, yeah, they resolve things.
Healthy, yeah. It was emotional. Like, they really talked things out.
Yeah. I know these women are not housewives. Like, there's a really big difference. Between, you know, they are just far more refined, far more educated, far more thoughtful, you know?
Yeah. I think there are more real-life repercussions for them, because, I mean, their husbands have real careers, and they, or even the female doctor.
Hello. I mean,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Most of them are doctors. Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking of, like, Mariah and Toya, and how they kind of have to work things out because their husband's, like, in the end. But yeah, I mean, there are real life repercussions. Yeah. They're not. It's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was pretty surprised this season with Jackie, because I do, when you talk about real life repercussions, and, like, I always think of her as the sane one, you know, the peacemaker, the sane one. But she shocked me in these last few episodes. She did not seem sane. I was absolutely blown away by that scene between her and Buffy, when she just, like, says while she's on stage, "You know what I'm talking about, Buffy, you're infertile." I almost I did scream. I screamed at the television. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like, what the hell was she thinking? And then she got so mad when Buffy confronted her about it.
Do you think it was malicious? That was the buzzword.
No, I do not. Not even a little bit. I really do not. I think it was absolutely just insensitivity, because she's so used to making her private stuff public, you know? I just can't believe. Maybe I like her too much, but I just think she's rational, and I think she's a good person.
Oh, she's, like, the pillar of, like, integrity on that show. I mean, she's beyond reproach.
Yeah, it's true. Well, though, this was pretty reproachful.
Yeah.
Do you think that Buffy was, like, too demanding about, like, the apologies and everything?
You know, I mean, I would have limited it to maybe two or so, but I can say that Jackie's initial reactions weren't sincere. I think
they were weird. Like, why'd she flip out? Why'd she get so mad? Was it, as someone said that night, that it was because she, like, came for her publicly? Like, what? Why?
I don't think Jackie's ever, at least on the show, ever been in the position of apologizing or being called out or criticized. So I don't know if she's
maybe she can't take it.
Yeah, because she's always the one soothing these psychos over. Well, it was the first time I can think of that she ever really made a big misstep.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And that was a really horrific one.
Yeah.
I really felt bad for her, like, so bad. Excuse me.
I love Jackie's inspirational rhymes. They were, like, all sprinkled all throughout, like, "I'm not worried because new levels bring new devils."
Yeah, right.
And what was the other one? Sometimes, like, rejection is God's protection.
Rejection, yeah. Oh, about the miscarriage. Yeah. Yeah, and I actually thought that was brilliant, you know, because it's the truth, right? Like, most of the miscarriages are because it's nature's way of aborting a non-healthy fetus.
Yeah.
Most of them, you know, probably fewer of them are about the mother's inability to carry, because out of every three pregnancies ends in miscarriage, and a great majority of them before the woman knows she's pregnant. But it's just a fact of life. Doesn't make it any easier. I've been through it. So yeah, watching, you know, there were flashbacks too from the scene at Toya's party, which, by the way, that was hilarious. Toya's party where she wanted everyone to come to her house but not be in the house.
Yeah.
And but when she convinces Buffy to come back inside after she leaves sobbing, and she's like, come into my closet. My closet will cheer you up. It's got shoes, lighting, wine. What's not to like? And then that shit goes even wronger, even more wrong than Nini's closet. It was shocking. And Contessa is insane. She was like drill sergeant up in Buffy's face until Buffy literally lost it, to the extent where, like, I'm shocked her husband didn't give her a shot and drag her out.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she had lost her mind. She was screaming, like, not even yelling, but screaming.
Yeah.
It was very painful.
Was raw to watch.
It was really raw. Like, talk about reality TV.
Contessa does not come off as a very great person.
She's a bitch. Like, really, I mean, I know there's a lot of editing, and Scott seemed to come clean, not come clean, but admit some faults in the ways that he spoke about Contessa when she was out in Nashville in medical school. Uh-huh. But the way she came off was absolutely ungrateful, because they have three little kids and he works full time. Having to take care of three little kids with no nanny and being a doctor full time, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then she acted like he wasn't doing a good job.
I can't even figure out whose friend she truly is. No one seems to like her that much.
She's not very likable.
Yeah.
I think, like, really, I thought she was way too hard on her husband, who seemed like he genuinely was trying his best. I would be way more resentful than that. I would be like, oh, fuck no. We have three little children. You can't leave me alone with the, like, now they have a nanny, which, good move, people, you know, but still. And then what she did to Buffy, it was like, are you joking? She's like, I got news for you. We all have pain. And it's like, okay, what's your point? That she's not allowed to have any?
Yeah. It was not soothing. I don't know what she was trying to, like,
she went full through. Drill surgeon on her. Drill sergeant, you know?
It's like Dr. Phil. Like, I don't know.
I don't know who the fuck she thinks she is, really. There's another one I'd like to throat punch, except the truth of the matter is I think she would kick my ass. She's scary. She's in really good shape, too. She's got a rocking body.
Yeah.
I can't stand her, though.
Did you enjoy her reunion, though? It was horrible.
I don't know. The hair thing is also just getting worse and worse.
The hair, she had like crystals in it, like kind of studded. And it reminded me of Phaedra's baby shower.
Oh.
Where Candy called her Bougetto.
Bougetto. And she had all the sequins on her eyelids. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it well.
What's her name? What's her name? Contessa was wearing like four or five sets of fake eyelashes.
Yeah. And so that is why you brought her up, right? Because we were talking about, I know. You're supposed to wear false eyelashes to emphasize your eyes. But when you wear really, really long lashes, it makes your eyes look really tiny. Mm-hmm. It obscures them.
And they were really clumped together. It looked kind of like she had 3-inch thick lashes on top and 3-inch thick lashes on the bottom.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. Mm. Don't they have stylists? And don't the stylists, like, do you think these women are choosing these things? How come no one's telling them it looks bad?
I wonder if some have, they, I wonder if Bravo provides hair and makeup, or if it's up to them to bring them. Because obviously, like, Mariah looked great. Toya had great hair.
Yeah, she did. She
looked really
Jackie's
good.
Hair looked terrifying, though.
Yeah, no.
With those big, thick bangs. Like, oh, girl. Like, that's what I mean. Like, do they not have a stylist being like, you know what, girl? I don't think bangs are going to work for you.
Oh, well, that's what I was saying. Like, I wonder if that's up to the housewife to put out money for, because Contessa did not look put together at all.
No, and she never does, to be perfectly honest. She always has something weird about her look that's like uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. Like, obviously, like Mariah, Quad, Toya, they came to slay.
Oh,
like,
for sure. Although Mariah really, I wasn't down with her eye makeup. I'm not sure if you noticed that, but it was like really strange eye makeup, like weird dragon lady eyes. But she's beautiful also.
Yeah.
I think Quad is incredibly beautiful also. So I guess the big part of the reunion was the fact, the rift between Jackie and Simone, who are best friends. And it's the Buffy thing that has separated them, because Simone kind of, I don't know, would you say defended Buffy or asked Jackie to once again make it right?
Yeah, Simone saw the error in Jackie's ways and understood why Buffy was upset.
Yeah. But why do you think Simone felt like it had to be addressed again? Because Jackie really did apologize a couple times.
I'm trying to think, when was the final one? Was that in Cabo when she was like, I apologize, I'm done?
No. That was the first apology.
Oh, God, no wonder she had to apologize.
That is exactly why, because she came across as super insincere, right? And like she was furious at being called out. I know. It was like she was so defensive. But when she came on the reunion after having watched it, she came on, she knew she was wrong. And she was really apologizing sincerely. She really saw it.
That was, I mean, she took it to a level I couldn't believe, though, like where she was like, I want to make it up. Like, if God offered me the chance to have a baby, I would give it to Buffy.
And that was bullshit, also, because you know how bad she wanted to have a kid.
Yeah, that was really like a little over the top.
That was that to me came across as very insincere.
Yeah.
Because it was so over the top.
It's like patronizing.
I agree. And it was super, it almost seems sarcastic. Mm-hmm. I just feel like these areas are so, so sensitive that like you got to really tread softly. And
the Pauline thing with Jackie, if she was, the reason she was so defensive was because Buffy was calling her out publicly. Look at what Jackie called Buffy out on publicly.
I know. Like, seriously, honest to God, I think she had no right to get that pissed. No. Like, she really should have been like, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. Like, she was so defensive, and that was just, shocked. I was very, very shocked by this. Ultimately, it did seem like she apologized sincerely.
Yeah.
And then now we have this rift between Jackie and Simone, who are best friends, who love to study for, you know, their medical stuff. And
there are Oprah and Gail.
I know they are. They're so cute together. I would be really sad if Jackie left the show. I'd also be sad if this show got canceled.
You think it's on the chopping block?
No, you said it to me one night, though. I think you were drunk. And you're like, you texted me that you thought Married to Medicine was going to be canceled, and I freaked out and got all defensive. I was like, what are you talking about? It's amazing. It's the best one.
This reunion was so good. I see it as a future.
Honestly. And also, to me, here's a little tell. Look at how many parts a reunion is. That should tell you. Because like Southern Charm New Orleans, they didn't even do a reunion.
I have been trying
to make myself watch that show. I don't like regular Southern Charm, but like, I feel like I should be plugged in. So I started watching Southern Charm NOLA. They didn't even do a reunion, which I thought was crazy. Below Deck Med, no reunion. Mm-hmm. That killed me. I was like, screw you guys. I really wanted to see that reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a 3-part Married to Medicine reunion. So you know, it's gonna, that tells me how much there is there. You know,
a 3-part, if they shorten it to like 2 or no reunion at all, no reunion at all, you're dead. But the fact that they gave it a full 3-parter and it's been really good.
Yes.
They're invested in the show.
I can't wait to see part 3, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so I really think that we need to move on and not make the people wait any longer for Mr. Peter Madrigal.
Lisa Vanderpump's right-hand man. That's right. Sir.
That's right. And he still works at Sir. The only one who's been there this entire time.
Before the show, during the show, he truly he wasn't cast at Sir.
That's right.
He's
the real deal. Anyway, so let's just play the interview. So we're super excited today to introduce someone who we've been dreaming about coming on the podcast, and he is who we think the most interesting man in the world, and also known as the manager of Sir, it's Peter Madrigal. Welcome, Peter.
Hello, how are you two doing this beautiful afternoon?
Yes.
Way to get the year started with the most interesting man in the world over here, apparently.
I know. And we're just a few days away when we're recording this from the premiere of the new season of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, it is. It's coming up fast.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I'm always excited for the launch of the new season. I'm always excited.
Me
like
too.
It's I've been involved with this show for 9 years, and we're eight seasons in. But you're missing a year. You see, we started this in 2011 with like the teaser trailer and like putting together like who was going to be on the show, the interviews, I was part of the show when it was called the Sir Project. You know what I mean? That was the original like name for the show. The people at Bravo were just calling it the Sir Project. We had no idea what they'd called Vanderpump Rules by the end, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just called the Sir Project for.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I was saying Stassi said that the restaurant was originally named something else, and that they put up that Sir for the show. Is that true?
No, Sir was always Sir.
Oh, okay.
It's always been Sir. Since 1997, it's always been Sir.
Good.
Now, what she's referring to is Sir meant something else back in the day. So Sir was originally owned by Guillermo Zapata. He started in 1997, 98, around there. And it just meant South because he's Argentinian. Right. So he's just bringing a little bit of South American flair to Los Angeles. So that's all the word meant was just South, right? Sir. Now they changed it. This is what she's referring to. They changed it to Sexy Unique Restaurant. That's what they changed it to. That's what she's referring to. But it's always been Sir. It's just the meanings have changed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So are you going to be on the upcoming season?
Yes, of course. I've been on every single season since the inception. I mean, like I was one of the original, people that was chosen 9 years ago now. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 9 years, but yeah, 2011, we did the original interviews in the summer of 2011, and it was announced, and we started shooting the very next year. So, but we shot the teaser trailer to get the show picked up in 2011. So I've been with the show for 9 years. It's been 9 years.
You know? How long have you been at Star?
2008, actually.
Oh, wow.
So that life for me has been over a decade at this point. I mean, it's kind of Sir is becoming like a second home to it's been a second home to me for years. You know, it's not becoming, it is. You know, I feel like this is a constant joke amongst even like the production who kind of started it, and I've just kind of carried it. But the production called me the Tom Brady of Sir. Now, it's because Tom Brady has been there for so long in New England, and all these other people just come and go, you know, new faces, old faces, they just come and go in as servers and bartenders on the team. And in my case, at the restaurant, that I have to get to know new people while some of the older people leave, you know, cause like some people that were working there, back in 2011 are no longer there.
Right.
Even people that were working there in 2005 are no longer there. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2015, sorry, are no longer there. I'm the only one that's still there. So I have to get to know new people while some of the old people leave. And it's just like, it's in the last 10 years, 12 years, actually, since I've been there, there's been a lot of overtime, you know? I mean, for God's sake, Stassi quit Sir back in 2014, 2013, 14, you know, and then Kristen got fired in 2014. So that's two main components of the place.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, and that's why my nickname is Tom Brady, because I'm like, I'm still there captaining the whole thing, you know.
Does everyone report to you?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, does everyone report to me? I mean, other than me, like, you have to report to them owners, you know?
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, you manage the staff. Yeah. That was what I meant. Like, yes. The entire staff. Wow.
I mean, like, if you're referring to the kitchen people, no.
No. I meant the front.
Front
of the house.
That's me.
Wow. Yep. That sounds exhausting.
I was going to say, you were saying how you've been there so long and the show's evolved. How do you feel about now they've switched up the cast and they're bringing in more new people?
Well, that's me being that's me being Tom Brady. You know what I mean? I have to get to know these new folks coming in. You know, yeah. I mean, the only one that I was familiar with before she came in was that girl Dana. You know what I mean? Because she came and partied with us last year. Remember when I was all like, I need some titties in my face? You know, I think it was 11 episode 7-11. I'm gonna say.
Okay.
So
I'll go back.
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, like Jax and Bo, they're freaking out because I brought girls to the table. Oh my god!
Oh,
yeah,
that
girls.
Episode.
Oh,
okay.
No.
I remember.
Yeah,
I have watched every episode of Vanderpump Rules. I
love it.
I love it. I've always loved it.
That trailer for this new season. Ooh. The day it came out, I watched it like 20 times, literally.
Did you really?
It was so good. Where it opens up with Lisa being like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And then boom, it was so good. It was like a movie.
It's a good trailer.
Yeah, no, this is one of the best seasons yet. And here's the thing. I've gone back and watched this first season a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't played it at Surfer God's sakes, but I've seen like the first two seasons. I never watched a show, but last summer, not this past summer, but a couple summers ago, back summer 2018, I watched like the first two seasons, you know, just sat down and watched them. And then a couple of episodes from like the newest season at the time, which would have been season 6. Mm-hmm. When I sat down and, you could tell like it's gotten better and better, even though the storylines are from back then involve more cheating. Mm-hmm. This, you know, nowadays it's pretty much the same, but not the same people that are pulling the same shit.
Except
you know what
Sheena.
I mean? More people mature, more people.
More men for Sheena to sleep with.
she's not anybody, but she's enjoying her life, though. That's the thing.
Of course. I got nothing to respect. I have no rules about that. You know, I have no moral compass on sex. I don't think it's a moral issue.
We're all base animals, you know what I mean? That's the way I view. That's the way I view things. You know, you just choose your preferences. But what I'm saying was like back in the first season, it looked like complete crap. I mean, it was a good season, but the cinematography was not there. You know what I mean? And I remember joking with Jax. We were doing the finale for season one, and we were doing like a. We were filming with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in Villa Rosa. Mm-hmm. So it was our finale, but it was the middle episode for them or something like that. I can't remember. It was so long ago. But anyway, and they had a crane there and all this stuff. And we just had like, you know, our two camera guys. And I was all like, man, I turned to Jax and I was like, man, can you believe that this, if we keep on going, we'll be at Beverly Hills status.
Yeah.
Well, now we're beyond that.
Now
we got these huge weddings and the big crane effect and the rigging and all this other crap that goes along with it. I mean, like we've surpassed expectations that Bravo put on us. Yeah. You know,
it's amazing. It really is.
It is kind of.
Show.
It really is.
It is.
It is.
And Lisa is like. You know, obviously the crowning jewel. She anchors everything in such a great way, you know.
Yeah.
It's huge
well,
chance.
I mean, like, a couple of people have seen this, but I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but she and I have an ongoing joke now together.
Okay.
Funny. I don't know if I should say it on, but, you know, she comes up to me. She's always asking me to carry her to her destination. And so on New Year's Eve, she comes up to me. She's like, Peter, can you carry me to my house? And can you carry me to Pump? Sorry. And I was all like, Lisa, I'll carry you to London if you want.
How gallant of you.
She is the queen.
Jordan, tell him what you say we are. Tell him.
I call, we're huge LVP fans, and I call us the Stander Palms. Because we just stand, yeah, we stand her so, we stand her so much.
I love that. Standard pumps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now we're Peter Stans too, like Peter Pan, but Peter Stan.
Oh, I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you guys.
What would you say the hardest thing about working with Lisa is?
Nothing anymore. It's actually pretty easy now because it's second nature to me. Mm. When I first started managing back in 2010, it was pretty difficult. Like, it was like they would literally kick my ass. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, why isn't it things like this? Why aren't things like that? Why does the tablecloth look like this? Blah, blah, blah. Mm. Now it's like, you know, I just do an inspection and I know everything's going to look good. And if it doesn't, I'm going to get on the busser's case, you know? Yeah. But it's a, there's a learning, there's always a learning curve. And, you know, back, 10 years ago, it was, you know, it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. Now you're looking at 10 years later, it's like, come on. It's like,
Can you read her mind, basically? Like, you just have that psychic connection. So, you know, when you know
pretty
someone
much
really well.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's like one of those things. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, and then they also love my, like my, I have like a couple of siblings around and they love them. So, you know, it's great. Mm-hmm. You know,
who's more intimidating to work for between Ken and Lisa? I'm fascinated.
They both have their ways of doing things, you know. Ken is he's a ball buster too.
Oh, I'll never forget when James I think cussed towards Lisa and Ken told him he'll knock the spark out of him if he ever speaks to her that way again. Glorious.
Ken's a ball buster.
Everyone should have a Ken to stand up for them.
Yeah.
You know, everyone.
Unless you are a Ken and can stand up for yourself.
Yes, exactly. Of course. Of course.
Yeah. So, like me, I can stand up for myself.
You do seem assertive. You would have to be. You would have to be assertive in your line of work.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked in a lot of restaurants myself. I've been a server many, many times, all through college, all through grad school. And like, I know how hard it is. It's really hard.
Oh, it is difficult, but when you've been doing it for so long, it, like I said, it can become second nature very quickly.
On this new season, who do you think is going to be the most difficult to work with?
Who do I think is going to be the most difficult to work with? Out of whom?
Your new cast.
I don't know yet, actually. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but one knows what they're doing. One had a large learning curve, and it takes a minute. It's not a fast learner. Mm-hmm. And one is just kind of bleh.
Okay, we'll see if we can guess.
Yeah, you'll have to guess.
We'll hold a poll, see if our listeners can guess too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the blech means I'm like, I'm not a fan.
Okay, not like boring, just like icky.
Just blech. Like just, yeah. I see that person on the schedule.
Is there anyone kind of like on the core cast, maybe not the new ones, but who gets a bad rap? Like is maybe Sheena more intellectual than we think, or Jack's a little bit more moral than he comes off, some, you know?
But Jax has become Jax is very mature.
Oh.
Like he's very mature in the way he does things. You know, he'll you know, I know that he can come off as off the cuff sometimes and just like, but he's very mature for stuff. Like as far as like a lot of people see him as mature, but he's very mature. He's also very OCD.
Mm-hmm.
He's
also
OCD. He likes a clean place. He likes to have his place clean. That's the one thing you should know about that guy. He likes to make sure his place is always clean and neat. Mm. You know, Sheena's highly intellectual. She's not a pushover, you know, she really isn't. She's not a pushover. She's very intellectual. So I think that Sheena might get a bad rap too.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you really get to know them, you're like, oh, these people are not.
Well, I think like me, I recently met Stassi, and I mean, I really felt too, like you see something like season one Stassi, then you meet her in person and it's like, who is this very intelligent author, you know, speaker? It's not what you would think.
Stassi has really evolved in 10 years. You know what I mean? But then again, if you haven't, if you're the same person from 10 years ago,
you're hopeless. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
didn't
exactly.
You date her? Yes. Didn't you date Stassi for a while?
That was 2009, actually. Like, we had one of our first dates to Avatar, the movie, back in the day. You remember that?
Absolutely. That would have been maybe connected.
Yeah. But unless you're very entertaining, like, you know, Vanderpump Rules is, you know, it's you know, you have to be this at this point in time. You have to be entertaining. Otherwise, nobody's going to watch. Yeah. And if you don't got eyeballs on you, then bye bye. And the thing is that if you notice, you know, like in the background, we have like other people that work at Sir and they're not on the show.
Right.
And there's a reason why you can try to manufacture your personality all you want. If you don't have it, then you don't have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might want to look for a different career. My point is that if you have it and it's able to be translated, you're going to have a successful career and a successful TV persona, you know?
And yeah. I have one question that's been on my mind while we have you here, since you are Lisa Vanderpump's right-hand man. She's so like, awe-inspiring but a little intimidating. Has she ever made any employees cry? I personally couldn't take criticism from her. I'd be so crushed if I let her down that I think I would weep if she told me I wasn't doing my job.
Okay.
Court is so weird.
I'm sorry, I had to.
I love Jordan, but you're so weird.
Of course she's made some people cry.
That's amazing.
She's made she made Kristen Doty cry
a
few times. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, she can put the pressure on some people. Like, she's made some employees, you know, like, hey, come on, you know. But it's all good criticism.
Oh,
it's
not
like, you know what I mean?
When she delivers that, is she tactful? I know she's very direct.
No, she's very direct. She can be blunt. She can be blunt.
We've seen it with like James Kennedy and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Guillermo can also be very blunt. Guillermo can also be straight and to the point. And, you know, in season 7 last year when they were trying to get James Kennedy's little brother to work, and we were like doing the interview. Guillermo really hit James hard. I'm doing my own vlog series called Peter Madrigal, Old Fashioned Modern Man, and we shot the first episode, and I put it on my Instagram, and it's also on mandatory.com, it's being funded by Evolve Media.
Nice.
And do you know Reality T?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Reality T is owned by the company that is. This company, Evolve Media, owns all those websites, like Reality T, Mandatory, Dog Time. And so I'm friends with the COO of that company, really good friends with him. Yeah. And he's the one that was like, let's do a show. Let's do like the vlog series. I was like, yeah, let's do it. So the first episode is on Mandatory.com. Huh?
I said it's about time, because we never get enough
Peter
on the show. They you know, you're like the steady guy in the background all the time. You know,
well, it's my own brainchild.
How's the app going? You have an app and it's called Peterific Slots?
Yes. Yes, it is. Peterific Slots.
What is that?
It's a slot game starring yours truly. All of my quirks and my sayings and the way I talk and all this other stuff. And it actually is a little bit of an exaggerated version of me. You know, there's a bunch of levels, like there's a pirate level, a Knights Out level.
Is it animated?
No.
Oh, it's video clips.
Some of it is, and then some of it is pictures of me and videos of me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Combination of all sorts of things. Yes.
And people win money?
No, we're working on monetizing it so people can win prizes.
Oh, I see. Got it.
So I have my own candle line coming out because I created my own scents and fragrances, so that'll be one of the prizes. And, you know, and then another prize could be winning a trip to Los Angeles and hanging out with yours truly.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
How do I enter? I'm coming. I'm coming to hang with you, Peter.
Start playing the game, baby.
I will. So everyone go download that. Mm-hmm. And then
download Peterific Thoughts, PETERIFIC, Peterific.
Woo.
Actually, I have my if you follow the show, remember season four, I shot, I think it was season four or five, I shot a film.
Yes.
Tom Sandoval makes an appearance. Yes. Well, we launched it this past year. We won a bunch of awards from different film festivals.
That's brilliant.
And now to start the year, we are launching it. We're launching a campaign to get a new fan base going. So we're going to be putting that out there for everybody to see tomorrow.
Okay, great. And we will share
It's an awesome film, and I can't wait for everybody to see it now that it's out of the film festival run, you know. Mm-hmm. But it took us, when was season five? Season five was 4 years ago, 3.5 years to get it done. And then we went on the film festival run last year, 2018.
Congratulations.
So we shot it in 2015, went on the film festival in 2018, and now 2020, or 2019 went on the film festival run. And now 2020, we are going to show it to the world.
That's very exciting.
Cool. We'll keep people posted on that.
Yeah.
I will.
Tell us about why, what Clear the List is and why you're involved or why you.
About teachers built the next generation of Americans. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think that a lot of teachers, you know, I've heard that a lot of teachers, you know, don't have enough funds for pencils or pens or pad mm-hmm. paper or anything mm-hmm. else, you know, things that kids need in mm-hmm. classrooms. So that's mm-hmm. one thing that got me involved in that whole thing.
Yeah.
I teamed up with Courtney Jones, who creator of the Support A Teach. So she's one of the people that I like really teamed up with and helped me through this whole thing. You know, mm-hmm. got it really going. She did, and I just joined up, and I just piggybacked off of her and tried to get as much attention on this as possible.
So do you want to tell people how to participate and clear the list?
Everyone can go to supportateach.com. You know, it's the exact place to support teachers.
Okay. Clear the
supportateach.com.
Supportateach.com.
Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for doing this.
We really appreciate it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you again.
I hope you all too.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Thank you so Take much, care. Guys.
Bye. Right,
Happy New you. Year.
Bye.
Bye.
So that was amazing. Kind of made my life.
Yeah. That's closer to Queen LVP.
Yeah, right? But he is a genuinely nice guy, and I'm super excited that he spoke to us. And I'm very excited that we're finally back with Vanderpump Rules, and can't wait till next week. We'll definitely be talking about the new season. So yay on that. So that's about it for this week's edition of Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna. And we hope that you will come back next week and join us again. And if you enjoyed the show, please head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating, why don't you? And even a review, but only a good review. If it's a bad review, then keep it to your damn self. And I will see you back here next week. Bye.
Adios.